So, hi Wiggins.
Hello Matthew.
You are a special guest on this episode. Now we're going to talk about a film, and I haven't told you what the film is, but you really don't need any preparation for it. So, let's talk about a film.
Okay, I love talking about a film.
It's just a single film.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. How good is Good Morning Vietnam?
Oh, fucking hell. That's one of the best. It is... And, oh, all right, hang on, just let me gather my thoughts for a second.
Yeah, I thought that would happen. This is maybe an issue. I want to keep this short, about 20 minutes, but it may just be filled with us just reciting lines from Good Morning Vietnam, but probably not. If you are slightly familiar with the film, that you
or the soundtrack,
you will instantly remember Robin Williams in probably the biggest role of his career at that point, was playing Adrian Cronauer in like the Vietnam War as a radio DJ, and that's where a lot of the quotes were. Certainly, when I first saw the movie, and even at high school, that was a lot of the quotes was. Just him and all his riffing off the top of his head. But Wiggins and I have been for years just saying all the other quotes from this movie.
Look, it is, and that's the thing. Like, it's a great movie. It's a really enjoyable movie. It's definitely a rewatchable movie. The soundtrack is fucking banging.
Yes.
Like, one of, I would say, probably one of the first soundtracks that I had on cassette.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
And just ran through that thing. And it was exciting because it had all of those snippets of him doing his DJ thing interspersed in between the songs. So it wasn't just a soundtrack.
That's like I said, the energy of the actual soundtrack was that it was like he was the DJ. Here's a little snippet from him. Here's the song.
So fucking incredible. So good.
And they were clever enough to be like, and now here's Martha and the Vandellas. And then play that song. Like, that was
outstanding.
Really well done.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early. Speaking of early, how about that Cro-Magnon Marty Drywitz? Thank you, Marty, for silky smooth sound. Make me sound like Peggy Lee. Hey, hi, can you help me? What's your name? My name's Roosevelt Lee Roosevelt. Roosevelt, what town are you stationed in? I'm stationed in Poon Tang. Well, thank you, Roosevelt. What's the weather like out there? It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot. Hotter than this is my shorts. I can cook things in it. Little crotch pot cooking. Well, can you tell me what it feels like? Fool, and it's hot. I told you again. Were you born on the sun? It's damn hot. You can be a little thing. I saw it so damn hot. I saw one of those little guys in the orange robe burst into flames. It's that hot. You know what I'm talking about. Well, what do you think it's going to be like tonight? It's going to be hot and wet. That's nice if you're with a lady, but it ain't no good if you're in the jungle. Thank you, Roosevelt. Here's a song coming your way right now. Nowhere to Run To by Martha and the Vandellas. Yes. Hey, you know what I mean.
Too much?
Thank you, Marty. Still, get out of here.
He was incredible. And then, so I think I'd probably listened to the soundtrack maybe 100 times before I actually saw the movie.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
So that was pretty incredible. Because, like, that's exciting as a young kid to kind of, oh, I know this bit. Like a bit would pop up, like the Martha and Vandellas bit or whatever it was. And you know, sometimes it's a little bit out of whack. Yeah. When you listen to the soundtrack and you have these bits in your head, and then when they get put back into the movie in context, it's completely different.
Right, but, yes, you're right there.
But just so good. such a good movie.
I would argue, like, the soundtrack for Good Morning Vietnam is, I think the music in it is, maybe they didn't have all the money for, like, the big hits. So it's all of these songs, certainly, that I hadn't heard up until that point. All of this Motown, and but the energy of all the songs is carries it along as well. But when you look at something like that was equally massive when we were at school, which was like the Forrest Gump soundtrack. When I look back on the Forrest Gump soundtrack, it's a bit more like standards. Like, oh yeah, these are what you would expect to hear from this era. Maybe that was shaped by the movie itself, but the Good Morning Vietnam soundtrack, I think, still holds up as like awesome music from the 60s. That it's still, it's not the most famous versions of the songs, or the most famous. Like, it's got them, right? It's got Van Morrison when he was in Them singing Please Don't Go, which I just thought was the Rolling Stones all through my teenage years, I reckon. And then I was like, someone was like, no, that's not them.
It was like a precursor to, I don't know, maybe like some Tarantino stuff, where it's like he's just pulled these, like all of this particular music has been pulled specifically for this movie.
Yeah.
And it's been hand-picked, and it's not a, and I mean, obviously, all the, like Forrest Gump's a great example, but this, like all the Tarantino stuff, the music is so specific.
Yeah.
And this, yeah, this was, oh, fuck, man, what a great movie. Thank you.
That's all right. It could end here, right? You could be like, oh, thanks for reminding me of that movie. That's great. The reason why I thought of this is because I just thought this movie, the reason why it's so rewatchable is the hook is Robin Williams.
Yes.
If you like Robin Williams, if you hate him, then it's a horrible movie. But the hook is Robin Williams, and you watch it, and the first time you watch it, or the first two times, you're just watching it for him. He's just so dynamic. He's so entertaining. He's so probably, I like his variances in the movie as well. Like, he doesn't just play the one version. There's him just being like the motor mouth and being entertaining, but then he also gets a chance to act. I'm sure that's why he was very happy to do this movie, because he got to do some serious stuff as well. There's a bomb in Jimmy Wilde's bar. There's finding out that that his friend, or the girl he's after, her brother's like an actual North Vietnamese terrorist. All of this stuff that he gets to do, but you're watching it for him, just for the fun. And then the more you watch it, you're just like, oh, everyone in this movie is so funny. Why did I not notice this before? You got like even Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
Forrest Whitaker's funny. Like J.T. Walsh, even as like Sergeant Major Dickerson, like the real hard ass, he's funny. General Taylor, like that's funny. Even Dan the Man Levitan. Like it's so creative the way they... It's so creative the way they're like, right, we've got Robin Williams as the main guy being funny all the way through it, but then we'll get this other guy to be as boring and as straight as possible. So that's really, that makes it funny.
Oh, fuck.
And so you've got all these characters that are just sort of playing different levels of humor, I guess. You've even got, I don't even know who plays him, like Lieutenant Hawk's like underling, who's like... You know, he reminds me of Mark's brother, and he's like, oh, which one? Zeppo. And he's like, is he the one with the hat? Like, it's just the levels of it, confusion all the way through it.
Got duffel bags filled with information asking for Cronauer's reinstatement. The men all hate Hawk. They want Cronauer back. He's an exhilarating personality, and pokers are just no substitute.
I think I see a pattern forming here.
Sir, these letters are unequivocal, E.G. Hey, Hawk, eat a bag of shit. You suck. That's pretty much the point, sir. Not much gray area in this one.
We got one positive call from some guy in Wichita who thought Hawk's comedy was visionary and interesting. The other 1,100 calls said that the man can't do comedy to save his dick.
That's the direct quote, sir.
I've taken 90 calls this morning. They just don't like Hawk.
From a Marine in Da Nang, Captain Hawk sucks the sweat off a dead man's balls. I have no idea what that means, sir, but it seems very negative to me.
I think the troops are trying to tell us something, fellas.
But really, we're here to talk about one man and one man only. And that is Bruno fucking Kirby.
Exactly. Lieutenant Steve.
Lieutenant Steve. Now, I don't know. Okay. Do your best to explain how this man. Well, like I said, the first time you see the movie, you go, "Oh, it was Robin Williams' movie." But the more I see it, I go, "This Bruno Kirby is just walking away with this film all the way through it." So, can you explain the majesty of Lieutenant Stephen Hawke?
I don't know if I can. Like, Lieutenant Steve is just a tool.
Yes.
He's the epitome of the rule book, I suppose. Yes. He has an exceptionally high opinion of himself.
Yep.
He has an exceptionally high opinion of his sense of humor.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And has a complete disregard for anything that is happening in front of him. He has blinkers on to the world.
Yeah, he's just following the rules. And he's been told. It's a classic character. You've got the Robin Williams, you know, chaos agent, and you've got Lieutenant Steve, who's just, I have no power. That's the other thing, because you've got J.T. Walsh's Sergeant Major Dixon. He has the power. He's not funny at all because he's the dangerous one because he has the power. But what makes Lieutenant Steve so great is that he has no real power. But we've met so many Lieutenant Steves in our lives of people who have no real power but have been put in charge. The line from The Office or something is, "This is a job someone has created for you to do stuff that they don't want to do." But to him, he's like, "No, I will follow the rules and I will be rewarded for it."
Correct. That is... Hang on. I had to go... Because I know that there's just so much stuff. I had to go to IMDb. And because it just sort of jogs my memory. And there is a... Just the phrase, "Captain Hawke sucks the sweat off a dead man's balls." I have no idea what that means, sir, but it seems very negative to me. Explains Captain Hawke. And it also explains Forrest Whitaker.
Movie. That's why it's what is good about this movie is that they say funny things knowing that it's funny. Yes. Which is not always the case in comedy, where people are like playing it straight, but it's funny. These people are like, "I'm going to have joy in my face." That like, what does Marty say? What is it? "Hey, Hawk, eat a bag of shit. You suck." And that's pretty much to the point, sir. Not much grey area in that one. Like, they're just the lines they got to say were just so much fun. Oh. So, more importantly, Wiggins.
Yes.
Why are the soldiers writing letters about Lieutenant Steve?
Because he's fucking hopeless.
So what happens? Robin Williams gets pulled off the air.
He gets booted. So Robin Williams gets booted off the air because he's just too... Well, I think Chaos Agent is the best. That's the best description I've heard. That's perfect.
Yeah.
So he gets pulled off the air for being just too out there.
Another thing which is like, it's similar in any kind of movie where you've got this chaos agent sort of coming in and disrupting a disruptor, is that even as a viewer, you're like, he's breaking down the system and all of this stuff, and he's getting into trouble, but he's not really getting into trouble. It's high school, really. You know, the moments where, you know, we're giggling in class all the time. The teacher can say anything they want. It's not going to stop us giggling because we're not really going to get in trouble.
Yes.
So a lot of times it's that. But when the bomb explodes, we didn't even get to talk about Jimmy. But anyway, the bomb explodes in the bar and he comes in and he reads. And they're like, "No, you're not allowed to talk about what just happened." And he's like, "But it did happen." And then he goes over the top and then they... take him off the air because he's saying a bomb didn't explode and four people weren't killed and all this stuff. And they take him off the air. You're like, "Oh, now he's actually in trouble."
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, I know it's not the morning, but that's my trademark. And good evening sounds too depressing. Hey, we're going right now to the news. From England. Today, Princess Margaret threw a shoe. Easy match. Also, Elizabeth Taylor. She's still married after 6 months. Way to go, Liz. Hey. Right! In Saigon today, according to official sources, nothing actually happened. One thing that didn't officially happen was a bomb didn't officially explode at 1430 hours, unofficially destroying Jimmy Waugh's cafe.
Get him out of there!
Three men were unofficially wounded, and two men whose identities are still not known at this time were unofficially dead.
Come on, break the goddamn door down!
Police, ambulance, and fire department responded, but believed to be unofficial at this present moment.
Turn it off now!
Hospital, detained. I just wanted to think that you should.
So you can see that as it goes on. And then by the end, when he gets in real trouble, we're already along for the ride. So it's like, oh, God, I wish he could just be silly all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
Now he's in a war. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
He gets knocked off the air. And then, yeah, Lieutenant Steve comes along and says, I'll go on stage. Go on.
The comedy stylings of Lieutenant Steve is like that. Well, easily, like, I mean, yeah, as you said, like the quotes that that everyone knows are great. And I, you know, when the soundtrack comes on and you can talk along with it, it's great. But when someone comes at you with a French accent. Yeah. It just elicits a whole heap of different responses from you and I.
Yeah, exactly.
That are just. No.
So I will put the clip of him in there, so you don't have to do it. But okay, I'll put the clip of it in here right now.
Hello, Vietnam, and greetings. Soon the news. Then Lieutenant Steve, who's that? It's me, old pal Frenchie.
Listen, Frenchie, let me ask you something. Do you like good food? Oh, but of course, the French love good food. Well, then I guess that would make you an Edie Gourmet. Oh, Lieutenant Steve. Oh, Frenchie. Oh, Lieutenant Steve. Frenchie, you know, I really shouldn't kid Frenchie because sometimes he stand gets mad at me and he could out-hurt me. Lieutenant Steve, let's play some music. Okay, Frenchie, what would you like to hear? Well, I love a good polka as much as the next man. Well, a good polka it is for my good friend, Frenchie. I think some apologies are in order.
Like, I've seen that scene so many times. We used to rewind it and watch it over and over again. I still don't really know what he's talking about. I don't know what the joke is, and... this is why I don't understand
that's the joke, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the joke, is the fact that there is no comedy. Like, it's not actually funny.
Do you make that funny? Again, it's how do you walk that line of, like, because you can... That's the thing I don't understand, how we did it so well. Yeah.
Lieutenant Steve.
But he's got like a horn, and he's like, I don't know, understand his joke about an Edie Gourmet. I don't know what that means. But how do you do that? How do you be intentionally not funny, but it be funny? Like the fine line you have to walk, because how do you do that where it's you can do it and pretend to be not funny and it's not funny?
I think, is this the case of the joke coming all the way around in the fact that, look, it's you've said the joke and it's like, oh my God, he's trying to be funny, he's not funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're like, oh my God, that's really not funny. But then we you and I have turned this into something that's so much bigger than it actually is.
That's true. Because I've seen it too many times, I don't know what the reaction is for someone watching it for the first time.
Well, I think it might be, And again, I can only speak for someone that's never seen it before, might be, that's not funny at all. Yeah, that's the response that it's supposed to elicit.
Yeah. And it might just be like, oh my God, make it stop. But like, it might be just that level of just, this is terrible. Why? But the joy of that scene, again, like, because we've watched it so many times, is not only is he just terrible, then he says, oh, I like a polka as much as the next man, which is a phrase I've used so many times. I mean, the phrase polka doesn't come up any time very often, but any time it does, then I have to say, well, I like a polka as much as the next man. And then he puts the record on and then just sits back.
As if, like, the world is a better place.
Yeah, and like, that's... see, I told you. And it doesn't. Yeah. Does he actually say it, or maybe it's in my head where he's like, I think an apology's in order?
That's the phrase.
Yeah.
And then everyone just sort of looks at each other. It's like,
Bruno Kirby, what a friggin' champion he is in that movie.
He is the... And look, also, and I would like to buy some milk and some butter.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, there's too many lines from random people. It's that, and hey, baby, we're having that. Let's groove. There's just a lot of happening. And like I said, we didn't even get to Jimmy, who is the owner of the bar, who calls everybody Earl.
Yep.
Why? And... never explained. He just calls everyone Earl.
Yeah.
And wants naked pictures of Walter Brennan.
Walter Brennan.
So there is a lot, pretty much. Well, now I think about it, I don't know if we'd be friends if we didn't have this movie. We go, there's a lot.
Now, okay, this is something I've never admitted to anyone.
Oh, good.
And I think I've figured out why. I don't know what Walter Brennan looks like.
Okay.
Because I think due to this movie, every time I think of Walter Brennan,
I think of Forrest Whitaker.
Well, I think of Walter Brennan. No, I think if I do Google Walter Brennan, it's going to be a naked picture of him that pops up. So I've just wiped that.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Is it me or is Jimmy lighting the loafers?
Let me put it to you this way. He's got this thing for Walter Brennan. He says he wants to buy naked photographs for the actor. For 3 years he's been trying.
Walter Brennan?
You know Walter Brennan from the Real McCoy's, the TV show? Anyway, there's this guy from the 1st Battalion, 2nd Infantry, who swore that he could get him naked photographs of the actor. And I've been trying to tell him that there's no go, but he won't listen to me.
Oh, God. You would photograph the Walter Brennan?
Can you be?
Thank you, Jimmy.
Right. Any movement on the Walter Brennan thing?
No. And it doesn't look good, Jimmy.
He looked good to me.
Yeah, I don't know enough Earls to be like, Earl, anytime I see them. It's really disappointing. All right, well, like I said, we ripped through that. It was well worth our time. Anyway, talking about that stuff, I'll just leave you with the phrase which I always forget, which I need to use in everyday life, which, again, features Bruno Kirby when he's being told he can't go back on the air and they want to bring Robin Williams back on. And he's like, but I'm funny.
You heard from the men who don't like my humor. But what about the silent masses who do? And as far as pokers, they are a much maligned musical taste.
Lieutenant, you don't know whether you're shot, fuck, powder bird, or snake bit.
Now that is a good way to tell someone to shut up.
Oh, it's just, there is just, that's classic. That's fucking classic. Thank you for bringing this movie back into my life this evening.
That's right. And like every time I talk about it with you, now I want to go and watch it.
Exactly.
I'll probably just watch a lot of YouTube clips of Good Morning Vietnam.
I reckon I've got...
Thank you, Wiggins.
Thank you, Matthew.
That's it. I knew you'd be delighted.
Oh, fucking hell. Now I just need to watch all those clips.